Okay. I do want to invite you, before we open God's word, to pray with me and to make that more likely to happen. I figured I'd tell you exactly what I was going to pray, and then you can choose. I'm going to ask God to speak to me. I'm going to ask God to speak to me in the name of Jesus Christ. So my invitation is, as we open God's word, for you to pray with me. And hopefully that will be your prayer. Okay, I can talk louder.
Good.
All right, I was just holding back a little bit. Okay. And you can give me the thumbs up if I start to drift a little quiet here. I will say this, and we're going to read it later. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So please pray with me. Lord, please speak to me this morning, Lord. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. This morning, we are going to be talking about rest. Okay? Three facets of it. A past rest, hopefully, for all of us. A present rest. And a future rest. Okay? Now, to take this in order to possess the past rest, or for some who might be sitting here, have never experienced it, there's the rest that we can enjoy and be blessed with by God in our salvation. Okay? This morning we're going to be studying and referencing that as part of the picture in Hebrews. But before we hit Hebrews, I invite you to turn to Ephesians with me, Ephesians 2. And we're going to read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Okay, please follow me in your Bibles. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay. In order to enjoy the rest, the other two rest, you have to have the foundation of Jesus Christ in your life. Okay? this morning, if you don't know that you're going to heaven, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your heart, which is promised, then this morning, God has made himself available to you. In fact, in his words, he tells a story describing himself as running towards you. With open arms to take you into his family. And if you're not born again, you're dead in your transgressions and in despair. And you will not be able to realize the rest and the beautiful things that he has in store for his children. That's the starting point. The starting point of your life. I'm not talking about your spiritual life. I mean your physical life. I'm talking about your spiritual life. Is with Christ as your Savior. And with that, you are able to enjoy the riches of his blessings that are so great that your mind cannot even comprehend it. It's immeasurable. And we won't even be able to experience until we are in heaven with him, complete. Okay? So this morning, if you're not sure, if you don't remember a time in your life where you asked Jesus to be your Savior, don't harden. I plead with you. Don't harden your heart. If you hear from the Lord, take his invitation. Say, here I am, Lord. Be my Savior. Save me today. Okay. He talks about this, and in Hebrews, if you will, please turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Okay? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Before I read, I just want to emphasize this because it's so imperative. Today is the day for salvation. For no one is guaranteed tomorrow. Okay? Today is the day for salvation. And if you're not sure, he's running to you this morning with his arms open wide to welcome you. Just as you are. Okay, we're going to start off. I'm just going to quickly go through 1 and 2 and enter chapter 3. I'm by no ways going to do any of what we read this morning, the true justice and consideration that it really deserves. We're studying Hebrews in our men's Bible study. We spent several weeks just on chapter 1, and we broached in chapter 2 over the course of many weeks, and to be quite honest with you, we could still be in chapter 1 and learning and being blessed. So, with that in mind, please join me if you would. Verse 1, it says, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Okay, I guess we're just reading up the four. How great is our God? That's a description of him. The one who is your Savior is the one who created the universe. The one who not only created it, he sustains it. He holds it together. He is the source of both of your lives, your physical and your spiritual life. He is the source, even if you don't believe in him. This morning is your Savior. He's the source of your physical life. He is the one by grace that is giving you the breath of today and the blessing of getting to know him better. In verse 13 and 14, it says, to which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not all the angels ministering spirits to serve those who will inherit salvation? It goes on in chapter 2 to give us a warning. Before I give you read chapter 2, let me just say, if during the course of my message I use the pronoun you, it's inclusive of me. And please, as we're reading, notice the author's pronouns. Okay? So in view of what he has just said in chapter 1, he continues in chapter 2 with a warning. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard it. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. He continues in verse 8, he says, and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under his feet, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. So through the work of Christ, we are able to be included in the family of God. And God is not ashamed to call you a brother and sister of his. It's beautiful. I will jump down to verse 18 of chapter 2, it says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. I'm going to try and tie this all together for you. Let's just read together, if you would, chapter 3. It says, therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in God's in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice and do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time... No, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath, in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence that we had at first. As it has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that he would never, that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Okay. So, there are three types of rest. Hopefully you're sitting there this morning and the past rest is the rest of your salvation, which introduced you into the family of God. Okay? There's a future rest. We can rest in the fact that we're going to heaven, that God has prepared a place for us, that we're going to share in his triumphant dominion. But what about today? What about the present rest? What's the point of that warning? I will share with you this morning the point that God laid on my heart. God had prepared a work for the nation of Israel when he freed them from their bondage by the blood of the Lamb and told them that he promised them an inheritance, a blessing in the land of Canaan. They came up to the River Jordan and they sent out spies. And they checked out the land that God had promised them. And some of the spies came back and they said, the land is flowing with milk and honey. But there's great armies. There's walled fortresses. There's giants that we would have to battle if we cross that river. So in order to experience what God was ready to bless them with, they had to, by faith, cross that river. But none of them did. Except two. Joshua and Caleb. Now today, well, let's take a look. Let's take a look at just one of the people in Deuteronomy 1:36. That's in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 1:36 says, well, I'll start with 35. Not a man of this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give their forefathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. That, for Rick Spikings, is one of the giants. That is the finger that points at my heart. Does God have my whole heart? Not one time. Daily. What is your giant? What is your giant that keeps you from being wholehearted towards the Lord this morning? What keeps us from being like one of the people that are named in the Hall of Fame in chapter 11 of Hebrews? What keeps us from being the Caleb, the Joshua, the victory? That's part of the warning that's here today. And it's part of the challenge of our lives. It was part of the challenge of the Hebrews. Let's look to Hebrews 5. 11 through 14. It says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. These Hebrews, though they had known the Lord for a while, were still infants. And that's the challenge you have to ask yourself. And I'm not asking that. All right, there I caught myself. That's the challenge that we have to ask ourselves. Where is our standing with the Lord this morning? If you've been a Christian for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, are you stronger in the Lord today than you were 5 years ago? Are you closer to the Lord? If you just became a Christian, are you closer to the Lord today than you were a year ago? Have you been a Christian for umpteen years and you're still a babe? Are you missing out on the rest of the Lord? Now, this is not a rest, the present rest. It's not a rest of standing still. It's a rest of crossing the river with the Lord walking before you. Doing what the Lord would have you do. Now, for each one of us, that's different. Greg has been called to be a faithful preacher. You might be called to be a faithful preacher in your workplace. You may be called to be a faithful Sunday school teacher. The Holy Spirit and God knows what He's called you to do, but He hasn't called you to stand and do nothing. He's called us to cross the river. He's called us to be fishers of men and women. He's prepared ahead of time, similar to what He prepared for the Israelites to conquer and inherit. He's prepared for us as Christians good works ahead of time. Now, how do we do that? It's one thing to be told what to do. It's another thing to be told how to do it. All right? Faith is the means. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay? I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about having faith and placing your faith in God and being mindful and having a victorious life. The warning here was about people who wandered in the desert for 40 years. And it's a warning to us, to me, don't wander in the desert. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't wander in the desert. Follow me across the river. Let me walk before you in faith. And you can be a Moses. You can be a Joseph. Those things are not inclusive to them or exclusive to them. You can be a great man or woman of God. It's right there for all of us. We can all cross the river. We can all have God walk before us. We can all have a life of victory. Not a victory, they had to face giants. They had to face obstacles. But by faith in their God, they met those giants. And what was the outcome? They possessed the land. They enjoyed what God had promised them. God has promised us an abundant life. He's promised us contentment. So you have to ask yourself, if I'm not content, what's wrong? If I'm not content, what's wrong? There's something wrong with me if I'm not content. And God is standing there just as He does when He first invites you to accept Him as His Savior, with His arms open wide, saying, come on. He's not standing there in bed. He's walking towards you. He's coming to you. He's asking you to trust Him. He's asking me to trust Him, to cross the river, face the giants, put our faith in the Lord, and to walk and move. And how do you do that? All right, I'm going to wrap it up, and I'm going to tell you how you do that. You do that, put it in a nutshell. One of the things is to take the word that Greg has said many times, to keep in mind what God has already done for you if you've accepted Him as a Savior, how faithful and powerful and beautiful He was, and how much He loves you. To keep in mind what He promised you that you can depend on is your destiny. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, your destiny is to live happily ever after. Only it's not a fairy tale. It's God's promise. And He always keeps His promises. He's incapable of lying. So as we're walking, as God calls you to be wholehearted, as He calls me, us, to be wholehearted, to really love Him, He tells us to keep in mind what He's already done, what He's promised. He says in verse 11, because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. He ever intercedes for us. We have not because we ask not. When is the last time you asked God to help you? When you were in a difficulty, when you were tempted. Has He failed to help you, or have you failed to ask? There's other things. We have a responsibility to each other to help us in this, and that's found in in verse 12 of 3. See to it, brothers, that none of you is sinful. Oh, none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Right here this morning, here we are, hopefully encouraging one another, lifting each other up, encouraging each other to take another step and walk closely and faithfully with the Lord, arm in arm as brothers and sisters in Christ. And what's the alternative? Well, just look around. I'm sure we see people that haven't experienced the first rest, and people who aren't taking advantage of the present rest that we have in Jesus Christ. And what does their life look like? Is it abundant? Are they content? Is their life marked by joy? That is our inheritance. That's across the river. For all of us. Today, joy, contentment, victory, purpose. Purpose in that you're aligning yourself with God's work. That's all available to us today. So, today, if Rick Spikings hears God's voice, I pray that Rick Spikings doesn't harden his heart, that he moves in faith, that he crosses the river today. And there's a couple of giants over there, and there's a couple of walled fortresses, and it doesn't look like it's going to be very easy, you know? What did we sing this morning? We have an awesome God who walks before us and holds the kingdoms of the earth in his hand. They had victory in many different ways. There was not one common in many different ways. There wasn't always a common denominator to their victories. They didn't walk around 7 days and shout at every town that they wanted to conquer. The one common thread was the power of God and doing what God had called them to do, the way that God called them to do it. Okay? And just to reemphasize how important that it was, when they were going to cross the river, they grumbled. And God told them, I'm not going to let you cross the river. They realized what they had done was bad. They said, I'm sorry, we'll cross the river. They cried to cross the river, but on their own power. They got spanked. They got beat back. They were defeated. So, today if you hear God's voice, cross the river. Try and give God your whole heart. Try to see God. Look around the giants. Look past. You don't have to look around them. Correct myself, because God is bigger than any giant. Look past the giant. See God. And walk in faith. Because there is definite warnings about drifting away. About losing your inheritance. The good work that God has set before you to accomplish. About walking around in the desert without reaching your purpose, completing the good work that God has in store for you to accomplish through his power. Don't drift away. Ask God to help you today. Let's pray. Please join me. Lord, if there is even one person that hasn't been washed clean this morning by the blood of your Son, that doesn't know you as their Savior, that hasn't been welcomed into the family of God, I pray, Lord, that they will see you on the road of their life with open arms, running towards them this morning, Lord. And that you will be their God. You will be their Savior. You will be their hope. For those of us who are Christians, Lord, pray, Lord, that you'll remind us this morning of how great and wonderful you are. What you've done for us in the past. what you hold in store for us in the future, Lord. That it will encourage our hearts and help us to have faith in you today. So that we will cross the river, Lord, with the whole heart, walking behind you, asking you to lead us to complete the good works that you have already prepared for us to do, Lord. The victories that the faithful men and women of the Bible enjoyed are not exclusive to them, Lord. By your grace, you offer us a victorious life through your Son right now, a life of joy and contentment. May our joy and contentment this morning be found in you. May you lift up our hearts. May you enable us, Lord, to love you as you deserve with our whole heart. Many of us now, Lord, are going through difficult times with big challenges, with walled fortresses, and people who are not looking out for our best interest. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to look past those to you, to cry out to you, Lord, to ask you for our help. I pray that you help all of us in Abundant Life Fellowship to lift each other up, to count each other as more important than ourselves, to encourage each other to keep moving closer towards you, Christ. And I thank you for your wonderful word.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
That is able to cut into our hearts and reveal yourself to us. I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.